Let's turn together tonight to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 24, and Lord willing, tonight I'm going to conclude a message that we began a few weeks ago relative to the graveyard of time, the graveyard of time. Tomorrow is the funeral parlor of opportunity. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off to another time. I told my Bible doctrines class this year that my prayer for them, for each one of my students in my Bible class, was that they would settle the question of their eternal soul now rather than later. I pray for them every day. I want to see them saved, those that don't know the Lord. And if they put it off, there are things that happen. There are things that happen in the heart. Things that happen in the mind whenever we put off. We have a tendency to think that time belongs to us. But the Bible indicates that time belongs to God. He allows us. You had nothing to do with your birth. You had nothing to do with the arrival of yourself here upon this earth. Who planned that? God did. You had nothing to do with breath in your lungs. God took care of that. God makes sure that you exist here upon this earth, and He has given you opportunities. But if you abuse the time that He has given, there are awful and terrible consequences. And we've looked at several of these in our study. Just to review, we looked at the fact that one of the consequences of putting off what should be done today is mocking the earnest scriptural appeals to act now. Today, Hebrews tells us, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Number two, we looked at one of the consequences is that it prevents you from having the life you could have had. Think about that for just a moment. Prevents you from having the life you could have had. What kind of life could you have had apart from Jesus Christ? I think about that often as I look around me and I see people that I grew up with. And I've watched them go down different pathways, many of them going away from God. And I've looked at the consequences that have poured into their lives, and my heart grieves because I know they heard the truth. They sat in the same chapel services that I sat in. Many of them attended this church. Some of them have followed the Lord and have been faithful. It's been wonderful to see that. But also those who have walked away from God, wanting nothing to do with them. It prevents them from having the life they could have had in Jesus Christ. Verses of Scripture that come to mind. I am come that you might have life. And, can you finish it with me? That you might have it more abundantly. There's nothing that this world and the devil can give you that will make you have a better life than what you can have in Jesus Christ. That is so important. Oh, how we think, well, the world can give me lots of things. Yes, it can. And every one of those things will rust and corrode and will be shifted away. I was watching last night. There was a man who investigates old World War II places, specifically in Germany. He's an American, and he loves to go and investigate these underground tunnels and caves and secret places that were built during World War II in Germany to hide secrets, the Third Reich secrets. And this man went to a place that someone had called him about and said, you need to come to this place. It was used as a secret place by the Russians in Germany during World War II. And so he went down to this particular building and investigated. It was three or four stories tall, but there was a secret passageway down in a tunnel that went underground. Went underneath there, no power, so he had to bring flashlights and so forth. And in that place, they found Russian uniforms, Russian supplies just laying all over the floor. It had been there for 75 years. So he began to scoop these items up and brought them out and brought them into the daylight, and there were the gold buttons on the Russian uniforms, but the clothing was all deteriorated. Holes all in it from moths eating on that, and yet the gold buttons were very shiny and brilliant in the sunlight. And the first comment that he made was to quote the scripture verse. He said, "Isn't it wonderful to know that nothing that we have in Christ will rust and will not be eaten by moths?" And he pointed out, he said, "Look at this destroyed jacket. Been laying there on the floor for 75 years. And yet the gold button still glittered. And that's the world. It has the glitter. Sounds like it's good, but what's it attached to? It's attached to things that corrode and corrupt." Number three, one of the consequences, it encourages God's judgment. We looked at Amos chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and we considered the fact that the Lord told the people of Israel, "Prepare to meet thy God. You've rejected me over and over and over again. Prepare to meet me." The fourth one that we looked at is that it treasures up God's wrath. To treasure up means to store up. Do you realize that every day that you walk away from God is a day that more judgment goes into the storehouse, more wrath to be poured out against your sin as a consequence for rejecting His Son? That is a very stunning. It causes me to just stop almost with the hair on the back of my neck standing up to think that a person who just continues on and will not come and will not listen is shoveling into a storehouse all the judgment and wrath of God. Not that He wants to do that. It's quite obvious that God doesn't want that to happen because He sent His Son to bear your sin debt on Calvary's tree. And yet another day goes by and another day goes by where we refuse to act upon the truth of God's Word. You're treasuring up wrath. Bible says in Romans 2 and verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." One day that storehouse is going to be opened up and all the wrath of God will pour out upon the sinner who chose not to heed the Word of God. Last time, a couple of weeks ago, we did the fifth one together. One of the consequences, that there is no guarantee of another opportunity to get it right. I began this series talking about people who always talk about second chances. God's all about second chances. But there's really no such thing as a second chance. There is only opportunity. That's it. There's only opportunity. It's not a series of chances, but rather opportunity to heed His Word. And there is never a guarantee that you'll have another opportunity to get it right. Oh, if you're battling doubts, you don't know for sure. Do you want to live that way? Constantly living with doubts and fears and don't know for sure whether you're going to go to heaven when you die? That's a horrible way to live. It's a horrible way to live. God never intended for the Christian to live that way. God has given to us assurances, 1 John 5:13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants us to know. What's the foundation of the guarantee? It's the Bible, God's Word. If you've trusted in Him, you have put your faith in Him, you've repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. There's no, equivocation. There's no, misunderstanding there. It's when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are redeemed because of what He has done on Calvary's tree. And folks, there's confidence and assurance and security in that to know. But as long as you live out in the tomorrow, I'll take care of it. Tomorrow, some other time, I'll handle it. You have no guarantee, absolutely no guarantee, that you will be able to rectify or make things right with God. Now we come to our last two tonight. And that is, number six, that it builds up resistance in your heart. One of the consequences, builds up resistance in your heart against other possible opportunities. Not only a guarantee of not having another opportunity, but it builds up resistance to opportunities that come. You build up this hardness in your heart that says, I'm not too sure I want to do that after all. I've been putting it off till tomorrow, but I'm not too sure that I want to take advantage. Would you listen, please, to Proverbs 29 and verse 1? And let this passage just sink into your mind and into your heart as I read it. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall, now listen to this, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to God's word. You will not be able to control the end. It's going to come how? Suddenly. And it's going to come how? Without remedy. There's not going to be another opportunity to get it right. And what prevented you from knowing that opportunity, what prevented you from that sudden destruction was the hardness of your heart. The hardness of your heart. I thank God whenever I have young people come to me with a tender heart. Pastor Brainerd, would you pray for me? Pastor Brainerd, I'm concerned about this. What do you think I need to do? Or things of that nature. Or a young person that's burdened about their soul. And there's still tenderness there. But what breaks my heart is whenever you see hardness and no movement. And time just continues to go on, and there's no movement, and there's no movement, and there's no movement. And you know what's in the future. You know what's in the future. How do I know what's in their future? Because God says it in His Word, Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that often is reproved and hardeneth his neck, Pastor Watt talked about this morning, pulling back against the controls that are on them. I will not come. I will not respond. Shall suddenly be destroyed. It'll happen so quick that you'll have no way to respond. There's been two airline crashes in recent memory. One took place in Russia, and they described the event of this plane that had gone down the runway and was barreling down the runway. Soon as it got up into the air, a few hundred feet, it began to veer and shift. It had ice on its wings. Began to shift, and it just fell right out of the sky, and 95 people were snatched off into eternity. Not one person survived. I couldn't help but think, did they have time? Did they have time? Were there any Christians on board? Were there some that were ushered into the presence of Jesus Christ, or were the majority of them ushered into a place we know as hell? So little time. Lives all going to different places. They listed all the different places that these people were traveling to, eventually getting to. And yet the only destination that they reached was the one that their heart had settled on. Now think about that. Their heart had settled on it. There was no time. By the way, there were three babies on board. And I know they're in the Lord's presence. That's a wonderful thing to consider. Those little babies sealed by the covenant of Jesus Christ's blood where they could go into His presence. But I don't know about the rest of them. I don't know about them. Think about that. Building up resistance. Building up resistance to the truth. You know where the easiest place to build up resistance is? A Bible preaching church. A Bible preaching church. Say, Pastor Brainerd, are you serious about that? Absolutely. The easiest place to build up resistance to God is in the Bible preaching church. Because there's a sense that, well, I've been here for so long, I've been attending this church, and things just kind of roll off of us like water off a duck's back. It's easy to grow cold in church. It's easy to think, well, I've reached a plateau. Would you get that thinking out of your mind? There's nothing automatic about the Christian life. Oh, this is one of the great lessons of the Scripture. We kind of think that when I get saved, we put it in drive and it's just everything's on go from that point on. No, it's not. Whose responsibility is it to walk with Jesus Christ? My responsibility. God's given that to me. That's why the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians over and over again, walk ye with the Lord. Walk ye with the Lord. We have a responsibility to walk with Him. That's your choice. And so we don't put it in automatic drive. We say, Lord, another day to live for You. When we wake up in the morning, Lord, help me to walk with You. Help me not to run ahead. And help me not to lag behind. I remember I made the mistake one time of not holding Gregory's hand when we went walking down at Carpenter's Park. This happened whenever he was 18 months old. I think I've told this before. But we were walking along the edge of the water there. And I let go of his hand. And I was talking to Beth. The next thing I heard is kaboom. I looked over there and I watched Gregory. He was face down to start with. And then he just kind of rolled over. And he's looking up at me. And I'm like paralyzed. And my wife hits me on the arm. Get him! Okay? So I just came down of my stunt and I jumped down in there and I grabbed him up and I pulled him out and he sputtered for just a little bit and he had the biggest grin on his face. Okay? And my wife slapped me on the arm again. You're supposed to be holding his hand. Boy, she was in full mama mode at that moment. I want to tell you something. You can fight ninja soldiers. You can battle space aliens, but you don't want to face an angry mother. All right? I want to tell you something. From that point on, that boy's, I held his hand up till he was 21 years old. just kidding. But, yeah. We were walking together, I thought, and he just wandered right into the water. Boop. How quickly things can happen when you go your own way. Let me tell you something, folks. You build up resistance when you don't listen and heed the Word of God. And then I want to bring you to the last one. And this is the one I want to spend a little time on because I'm going to take you on a little Bible journey here on the kingdom of Edom. I want you to think about that, descendants of Esau. The last consequence is that rejecting the opportunity to come to Christ now, to do the right thing now, increases your punishment in the future. It increases your punishment in the future. Listen to these verses, and I have several of them. Luke 12, verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Matthew 11, 21 through 22. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What is he saying? He's that more was preached to you than in Tyre and Sidon. If they'd have heard the testimony of my words, they would have come in sackcloth and ashes. Now we know about Tyre and Sidon. They were both destroyed. And their ruins were scraped off the land, and they made a bridge out to an island where the people had fled to, and the Romans went out there and mopped up the ground with them. And they used the stones of the walls and the stones of the buildings to make a roadway out to the island. There's nothing left of Tyre and Sidon. And yet God said, if I'd have preached what I preached to you, He said, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But not Chorazin, not Bethsaida. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. You know what that tells me? That tells me there's degrees of punishment based upon your opportunities. The Bible clearly teaches that there will be degrees of punishment in the lake of fire. The indication seems to be that the more opportunities a person has to be saved, the greater the judgment that will come their way. Listen to Revelation chapter 18 and verse 6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Talking about the whore and the judgment that was going to be poured out upon her, picturing religion as God pours out His wrath in Revelation chapter 18. This is exacting justice. This is what God does when someone refuses His love. How did He present His love to us? In that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. He exhibited His love. And when someone loves you and you reject that love, you're saying, I don't want that love. I want to keep my consequences. Now, we don't verbalize that, but that's what you're saying. In essence, you're saying, I don't want your love. I'm going to keep my consequences. But what you don't understand is that your consequences are doubled. They're doubled. They're increased because you had opportunity. You had today, and you walked away from it. I want you to think with me about the nation of Edom. Edom moved to the eastern side of the Jordan River, and there established their kingdom. They were thorns in the flesh to the children of Israel. The book of Numbers chapter 20 tells us that whenever Moses brought the children of Israel up to the land of Edom, that Edom received word from Moses that they wanted permission for the children of Israel to cross their land to go into the promised land. And what did the king of Edom say? No. Moses sent again and said, please let us come. We're brothers. We're related to each other. We're the children of Israel, children of Jacob. And the king of Edom said, no. And they brought their forces up to make sure that they passed and went around them. So the children of Israel's journey was lengthened because they had to go around the land. There are other times that we find hatred and animosity toward the children of Israel. Whenever Jerusalem and Judah specifically was attacked by the Babylonians, there was a group that came up from Edom. And the Bible tells us in the book of Obadiah that the children of Edom came up and they destroyed Israelites, and specifically the ones that were left behind that were crippled and infirm and elderly. And they destroyed them. Now, can you imagine what kind of animosity and hatred would be where someone would destroy a crippled person, someone who was too sick to go up into captivity, left behind by the Babylonians? But these descendants of Esau went up there and they killed these people. I read to you this morning in our call to worship from Psalm 108, but if you read down further and you get down there to verse 7, it says, Moab is my washpot. And Edom, oh Edom. Let's turn there very quickly. I want you to see this. The Bible is so clear, and we're going to look at a couple of other passages as well related to this, the people of Edom. But look at Psalm 108. Look at verse 9. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. You know, that's a sign of disdain. To take off the shoe. Remember that Islamic or Muslim reporter that threw a shoe at President Bush? Remember that? And boy, the Muslim people that were there at that time were extremely angry. They hauled that reporter out of there quickly because that is a sign of disdain. And they were trying to patch together a relationship there, and this reporter threw a shoe at the President of the United States. Well, what did God say? I'm going to throw my shoe at Edom. Notice this, going down to verse 10. Who will bring me unto the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt thou, O God, who hast cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our forces? Then turn over to the book of Obadiah for just a moment. I want you to see this. Edom's punishment in the future. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now we're talking about the nations of the earth, the retribution that will come to them because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, for as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Verse 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for what? Stubble. That's Edom. Stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. In these passages of Scripture, we've looked in a very quick thing, a bird's eye view of the nation of Edom and its hatred of God's people and the portion of their judgment because they would not come. They would not come to Jehovah. It increases punishment in eternity to reject Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know how I can communicate any more clearly than what we've shared from God's Word. Missed opportunities. I heard the story not too long ago about Sirhan Sirhan. Did you know that Sirhan Sirhan, the one who shot and killed Robert Kennedy, was a attender of the First Baptist Church of Austin, Texas? He had been taken there on a bus all of his childhood. I read that this week. A dark-skinned little boy was in Sunday school. Every Sunday, he rode the bus. The pastor at that time was Dr. Jim Allen, and this is what he said. We missed him. Our chance to change things came and passed, and we did not know that the opportunity was there. The boy attended, and he attended for years. But then the boy stopped attending, and the boy served the rest of his life after he shot and killed Robert Kennedy, the rest of his days in prison. And Pastor Allen said this, in a welter of words and the shudder of grief throughout our nation, the persistent thought keeps recurring to me, I missed helping him. I missed helping him. The little boy that sat in Sunday school would become the renowned Sirhan Sirhan who killed Robert Kennedy, who attended church for several years and then went away. Unbeknownst to just about everybody, said, we recognize the name. Later on, this was a little boy that never made a profession of faith in Christ. And he said, as a pastor, I think to myself, I missed an opportunity. I hope that you do not miss the opportunity that God puts before you, that you will take to heart. Procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Lord, you have told us in so many places that time does not belong to us. And for many, it becomes a graveyard because of opportunities that were provided and those opportunities were not taken. Lord, we that are gathered here tonight are still alive and we still have opportunity. I pray that you'd work in hearts. There are some here that just need to call out to thee to be redeemed. There are some here that know they ought to do right, but they're not doing what's right. They find all kinds of excuses to do what's wrong. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do what's right. That we would take every opportunity and use the time that you've given to us wisely. That we would not fritter it away and let it slip out of our hands only to be judged because of our failure to act upon your word. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and that we might live each moment of every day to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.